today as we come to the table.
Now we think about our trials, and maybe some of them have even gone longer than a year, but think about being in a boat, floating on the water with all these animals for 371 days. And then God says, no, but if you'll just wait, I have a fresh start and a new beginning for you. And maybe you feel like your world has been destroyed. Everything around you has been wiped out. And there's no hope. No, I want you to know today that even if you think everything has been destroyed, your entire world, so to speak, and very literally for Noah, God has a new beginning for you. God has a fresh start for you, and He has a new work that He's going to do in your life. But you've got to trust Him, and you've got to wait on Him.
Has your world been destroyed? Does it seem like you've been in this trial for a very, very long time? You may feel like you can't take it anymore. You may think you messed up somewhere. You may think God is ignoring or punishing you. These thoughts are normal. God may have put you in this trial on purpose. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark teaches us that God had to destroy Noah's whole world before He could give him a new beginning. That seems drastic, but that was God's goal. God may tear down our little worlds to give us a fresh start, a new beginning. Let's consider that possibility the next time God begins to rearrange our lives. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 8, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
It says not only that God remembered Noah, it says, and every living thing, and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. Now note this, next it says that God remembered even the animals. And if God remembered the animals, how much more will He remember us? Matthew 10, verse 29 through 31 says this, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? Note this, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. You see, God makes it a point to show here that He cares about the animal kingdom as well in this whole passage, and yet the scripture tells us God cares a lot more about us than animals. And if God knows when a single sparrow falls to the ground, God certainly knows what your situation is today, and He's very aware of what you need, and He's here to meet that need. Notice next it says that God made a wind to pass over the earth. It's the same word used for the Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 1 when it says the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, I find this very interesting and very appropriate in that at the original creation, God was hovering over the waters with His Holy Spirit, the wind. The word there is ruach in the language. Now, once again, as God is recreating after flooding the earth, again, we see the work of the Holy Spirit now recreating, if you will, and preparing the earth for man to inhabit it. And so God's hand involved in every aspect, although Noah may not have seen that. And it says in verse 2, the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters receded continually from the earth, and at the end of 150 days, the water decreased. Then the ark rested. Note that. In the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. Now, this verse is loaded. Note what it says here first. The seventh month, on the 17th day, the ark came to rest. Now, those of you who know numbers in Scripture know that the number seven in Scripture is the number of completeness. It means complete. God is finished. And it's interesting here that we see God giving Noah rest once the storm is complete. And what an encouragement that is to us. Note this, once God has finished sending us through what we need to go through in our weight training in order to be prepared for the next season of our life, which God is leading us toward, God will not do it until it is complete. But once it is complete, God will give us rest. know that the Lord has it in his timing. So in the same way, we can rest assured that once God has completed the trials and storms, he's going to give us rest and hope. Now, it's also interesting, and note this, it landed on the mountains of Ararat, which interestingly enough, to complete the picture, the name Ararat means the curse reversed. What an appropriate place for the ark to rest after the flood subsided. Why? On this day, God gave them rest and a reversal of the curse of his judgment. And what makes this even more interesting, it wasn't just God giving them a day of rest and a reversal of the curse of the judgment of that day. According to the Jewish calendar, which most scholars believe that the Jews later on lined up with Genesis and still use today, note this, the seventh month and the 17th day is the exact same day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Isn't that exciting? 3 days after Passover, and again, the exact day. Now, why is that such a beautiful picture of what God is not only showing Noah here, but what God is showing us in our generation? Now, Noah couldn't possibly have known that would be the day that the Messiah would resurrect from the grave. He probably didn't even understand at that point the Messiah would die. But what's exciting for us in our generation, even as God gave Noah rest and the reversal of the curse, if you will, in his day, he's given us the same thing today. And that is for all who receive Jesus Christ, on that day he resurrected from the dead, and all who receive him will receive rest and assurance that the curse of sin in their life has been reversed. What a beautiful picture. It's interesting how the Lord works and how he paints a picture for us in doing this. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." And for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, that's exactly what happens. The Lord gives us rest. He reverses the curse of sin, and all things become new. You know what's interesting? Jesus said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." And so now we see again this beautiful picture here, even of the gospel message. And remember, we said when you're searching the scriptures, you should be looking for Jesus everywhere, because Jesus said himself, he's in the volume of the book. And so it comes to rest on the 17th day of the seventh month on the mountains of Ararat. And notice verse 5, "And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made, and he sent out a raven," note that, "which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the heaven. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the water had abated from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot." Notice that. "And she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the entire earth. And so he put out his hand and he took her and he drew her into the ark to himself." Now understand, to begin with, there's a very practical reason that Noah sent out a raven and then a dove. Now, what is that practical reason? Well, ravens are scavengers, and they eat dead carcasses. They feast on dead flesh, if you will. And Noah at this time could only see the water. The ark had come to rest, but it was still covered by water on the sides. And what Noah wanted to know was, has the water abated? A raven would continue to search the waters, and they're a long flight bird, so they would have searched the waters and been looking for, you know, dead creatures. There would have been plenty of them, of course, in the water after the flood, and they would have been able to sustain themselves that way. But sending out a raven would not let you know whether or not the water was receding. And note this, Noah is looking for signs of hope. We'll see that in just a minute. He's looking desperately for signs of hope that this time in the ark is almost done. And so after he sends out the raven, he also sends out a dove. Now, why is that interesting? Because a dove is a shorter range flight animal, and a dove won't feast on dead animals or dead people for that matter. It will not feast on dead flesh. They eat seeds, they eat fruit, and they need a place where they can land. They're short flight. They wouldn't go and land on some carcass. It wouldn't do them any good. So Noah would have realized by this, the raven may stay gone. It may not come back. But the dove would come back if there wasn't any land. If the dove didn't come back, he knows there's land. There's hope. And so again, he sends us out with this expectation of finding land. But before we go on to his disappointment in that, I also find it very interesting because I believe the Holy Spirit is also giving us a spiritual truth in this as well. And that is, notice he releases a raven and a dove. Ravens in scripture are unclean animals and are a type, biblically, of Satan and the demonic realm. Now, why is that interesting? Because you see, Satan and the demonic realm will always feed on dead flesh. And how appropriate it is to give us a picture of the animal being released, and we're going to see the raven did not return. It did not come back. Why? Because it found a lot of dead flesh to feast on. And that's exactly what Satan finds today, isn't it? A lot of dead flesh and dead people spiritually in this world to feast on. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, note this, seeking whom he may devour. And so we see a spiritual picture of the enemy devouring, and we see a very literal picture here of the raven devouring. But wait a minute, Mark. Okay, there's the spiritual truth of seeing how the enemy thrives on that. What does that have to do with us? Well, what's interesting is when the dove didn't find a place to land its feet, there was no place for the sole of its foot, the dove came back into the ark, a place where it could abide, a place where it was welcome, a place where it felt welcome. Here's the analogy to us. You see, even as ravens in Scripture are a type of the demonic realm or Satan, the dove is a type of the Holy Spirit. And the question for us is, does the Holy Spirit find in our lives a place to set the sole of her foot? In other words, is there a place for the dove to land in our life? Now, you can tell by someone whether or not they've got the raven landing on him or they have the dove. And that is if there's a lot of flesh in their life, if there's a lot of death in their life, that is spiritual death. And yet the Holy Spirit desires a place in your life. Now, don't misunderstand me. When you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. So as a believer, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. However, the Bible says we can grieve the Spirit of the Lord. And that is, we can grieve his spirit and find that he can't work as much in our life as he wants to work. The question is this, as Satan swarms around your life and as the Holy Spirit swarms around your life, which one finds the place to land most comfortable? And that will determine what our walk is like and where we are in the Lord. Because you see, the enemy will always thrive in the area of death and flesh, if you will. Whereas the Spirit will always thrive when there's a place that he can call home, a place that he can abide, a place he feels welcome. The ark was a place like that. Our heart needs to be a place like that as well. And note this as well, in order for the dove to land, in order for the Holy Spirit to land in our life, he needs a place that he's welcome. We have to open the door and say, you're welcome. And so again, the symbolism that the Lord uses here is quite clear, practically as well as spiritually. And notice he says here, again, the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned to the ark. In verse 10, and notice this, after the dove came back, he sends the dove out. He waits for the dove to come back, and it says he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Now, this is interesting because the first time he sends the dove out and the raven, he's hoping for any sign. Give me a sign of hope, Lord. I need something to keep me going in the midst of this trial, something to keep me going in the midst of this aimless floating time, if you will, and the dove comes back empty-handed. That had to be frustrating, looking for something, because we all need signs of hope. But what's interesting here, it says this verse in verse 10, when he waited yet another 7 days, the word waited has a very interesting meaning. And it paints a picture of someone in pain or anguish or great anxiety. You see, here's the point. Noah was miserable and anxious for this time to pass and to get off the ark, but it wasn't yet God's timing. Remember we talked about the reps. You know, you get those last few reps and you have that one that's really burning really bad there at the end. That's a beautiful picture of what this word means. What this word means is Noah had it. He said, God, you've got to do something. There's got to be a sign of hope. Show me somehow that you're here. I sent the dove out. It came back. Nothing. I'm sending the dove out again. And this time as he sends the dove out, the language again there means that he's going, oh, I can't take this. Please, God, give me some sign of hope. And I want to say there may be some of you that have sent the dove out and it seemed to come back empty-handed, so to speak. And maybe even you're sending it out again saying, God, please, you've got to speak to me. I need some level of hope. I don't know about you. But for me, if God will just give me just even an olive branch in the beak and let me know that I'm still on his radar screen and let me know that he still knows that I'm here, even though I know mentally, if he'll just show me that, I can make it. You know, it's interesting. We're going to see that he sent a dove out 3 times, and the third time that the dove, he sent the dove out, it didn't come back. Yesterday, I was in the office, and I was preparing for this, and I was on this passage, and I'm meditating on this, and I'm thinking, Lord, there are things in my life that I'm waiting on. There are things in the ministry that we are waiting on as a body. There are things that I'm thinking, Lord, I mean, it's not as bad as being in an ark, and I know all that. Can't really make a fair comparison. But at the same time, I'm waiting, saying, God, you know, what's your timing? What's going to happen here? Well, you know, we're just waiting. And right as I'm reading this and thinking of God giving Noah this sign, I look out the window and there's 3 doves sitting right there outside my window on this fence. And it was just a reminder to my heart, even as I'm reading about the 3 doves of Noah, so to speak, God hears us. He knows where we are. You're not forgotten. He sees you. And you know what? God wants to give you a sign in your heart to let you know that he's still working and that he still cares. And I believe if you'll simply ask him, saying, God, speak to me. Give me a sign that you're still there. God will do so. You know, we had in the first two services amazing stories after the services were done. One guy came up and said, hey, I've come for the first time to Calvary Chapel. We feel God is moving us from South Carolina to Knoxville, but we really need some confirmation to know that we're supposed to be here. And you talked about Noah and, you know, giving a new beginning and coming out and the sun shining on Noah again. He says, well, you know what? I came here to visit today and my wife is still back there. He said, and your message was on new beginnings. It was on a new beginning. And he told me his wife's name is Sunny. And I'm thinking, you know, God is speaking to you. God is sharing with you. God is showing you things that you need to know. I had somebody else come up after first service. And he said, you know, it's the first time I visited Calvary Chapel. And this morning you were talking about, you know, hope after the flood. You know, it was a friend with him that was telling me that, said, look, Mark, you were talking about hope after the flood this morning. Guess who this is? And he introduced me to him and told me his name. And he said, you know what? He's had to relocate because of the flood down there on the coast. And he said, you were talking today about new beginnings and God having a new beginning after the flood. And he was saying he knew again that God was speaking to his heart. I had someone come up again after the other service and say, you know what? You said today about the 17th day. It just so happened that I found out on the 17th day that I have a very severe illness. And I've been thinking for the longest time that God is not listening to me, that God is not hearing me. God spoke to my heart and let me know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And the very fact that you mentioned the day that the ark rested, God said to my heart, I'm now giving you rest. She said, I've had rest ever since, that I knew that God was watching over me. She said, today was just a confirmation. And she said, on the 17th of this month, God gave me rest in my heart. And yet I'm wondering, God, what's going to happen? Are you still involved in this? And she said, I come in this morning, you talk about God giving rest on that very day. You see, here's the bottom line. God wants to let you know in your heart, in whatever way is going to best minister to you, I know you're there. And right now, God is speaking to some of you through this message. And maybe God may speak to you, you know, after this message and through whatever he does it. But let him know. Say, God, speak to me. Let me know that, you know, I'm still on the radar screen. God is more than willing to do that. And he's happy to do that. And so, again, this time of waiting on the Lord will often result in frustration and pain, even as it had here in Noah's life. God is only doing it in your life so it might result in godliness and gain. And so notice verse 11, it says, and then the dove came in to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had abated on the earth. See, now Noah has the hope he needed. The spark that God spoke to his heart to say, I remember you, Noah. Everything's okay. You're right on target, and I'm here with you. And how anxious Noah must have been this time as the dove returned, looking for any sign of hope. And he comes back this time with the leaf in his mouth, showing that there is land now that is inhabitable. The water is going down and God is changing things. And as I said, sometimes we simply need a sign of hope that God is with us. And God is more than willing to do that. God does that here now for Noah. It's interesting here. Notice in verse 12, it says, so he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. Now, remember we said what the word waited meant earlier? Anguish, frustration. God, you've got to do something. It's interesting here, as I looked up the word waited in this verse, after God had given Noah hope, after God had sent the dove with the olive branch in his mouth, the word waited here this time has a very different meaning. And note what it means. It means to wait with confident expectation and trust. Isn't that exciting? You see, here's what the Lord is wanting to do. He's wanting to encourage you today in whatever situation you're in so that if you feel you just can't go on, he wants to change it. He may not remove it from you right now. Note this. You may have to continue waiting a little bit longer. Your weight training session may not be over yet. He may be saying to you, one more rep. Give me one more rep. But here's what he does. He says, I'm here to spot. I'm here to make sure that the weight doesn't fall on you beyond what you can control. And now you can have confident expectation and trust that God is doing a work in your life. And how different it is having to wait when you see no sign of hope as compared to having to wait but knowing that God is at work. It's exciting. And again, some of you today have felt hopeless in your situation as you wait on the Lord. Rest assured, God is going to move and he will fulfill his promise. Notice verse 13, it says, and it came to pass in the 601st year of the first day of the month that the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. Can you imagine? Yes, it's dry. It's like, maybe now we can go out. Now, here's what's frustrating. God doesn't say in the very next verse, okay, Noah, go ahead and go out. He says it here in a couple of verses, but he makes Noah wait all the way through verse 15. Actually, through a couple of verses. But notice this, the ground was dry. Now, how tempting would it have been to Noah to say, you know what, there's some dry ground, I'm going for it. But Noah waited until he heard the voice of the Lord. Guys, here's the encouragement for us. You may want out of your situation so badly you can taste it, but wait on the Lord. God's timing is perfect. Our timing is not. And had Noah gone out at this time, it would not have been time. Now, as a matter of fact, Noah probably couldn't have, because remember, it says that God shut the door to the ark. And now I believe God wasn't going to open that door until it was time. When God knows it's time for us to move on, God will open a door for us to move on into the next season of life that he has for us. But prior to that, if the door is closed, don't try to kick it down. And also, don't try to jump over the top. You know, I've done that in the past. If I can't kick the door down, I'll just jump off the boat. You know, go out through the window. If you do that, you're going to drown. You need to stay where God has you until God has completed what it is that he's going to do. So you have to admire Noah here. He didn't try to get out even when he saw that the ground was dry. But notice verse 14. It says that in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. Then, what a huge then, what an exciting then for Noah. God spoke to Noah saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and your sons' wives with you. You know, it's interesting, when God brought them in the ark, he said, come, come into the ark. And now he's done with what he sent them through, and now he's saying, go. What is the application for us? Listen, all of us are being drawn to the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, right now his spirit is saying to you, come. Come into the ark of salvation, if you will. God has a place for you. But as believers, once we come in and let God work in our life, there's going to come a point where God's going to say what? Go. It's time to serve. It's time to step out and share your faith. It's time to get moving. And now we see him saying that very thing to Noah, saying, go out of the ark and take your family with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, I'll bet, probably with a skip in his step, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth according to their families went out of the ark. Now notice this, Noah and his family now leave the ark after 371 long days. This is over a year. Now we think about our trials, and maybe some of them have even gone longer than a year, but think about being in a boat, floating on the water with all these animals for 371 days. And then God says, no, but if you'll just wait, I have a fresh start and a new beginning for you. And maybe you feel like your world has been destroyed. Everything around you has been wiped out. And there's no hope. No, I want you to know today that even if you think everything has been destroyed, your entire world, so to speak, and very literally for Noah, God has a new beginning for you. God has a fresh start for you, and he has a new work that he's going to do in your life. But you've got to trust him, and you've got to wait on him.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book that covers genealogy, world history, and God's promises. It was written by Moses to those who perhaps needed the reminder of how God came through for his people, no matter what. Do you need this reminder today? We're so glad you decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested, go to thewaymedia.net and scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll notice a link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net. Or you can download these messages too on the Way Media app. Find it at your Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We're about out of time for today's edition, but we want to hear from you. Would you give us a call and let us know what you've been learning from Genesis? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Pastor Mark has more to share with us as we go verse by verse through this book of beginnings. Keep reading, so you'll be ready to dig through Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.